This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. A new year. And so we're doing some updates, talking about things in the Umpqua Valley and a kind of a mid-school year look at Roseburg Public Schools. Superintendent Jared Corden, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here.
So overall, how are things going for the district this school year?
We've had a great year this year, and I just want to say how impressed I am with our kids. We have such a great generation. It's an incredible group of kids that we have this year, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm just really, really impressed. It's interesting talking to people in the community, ask about kids, and I often tell them this is these kids are, it's really one of the best generations of kids I've seen. Hardworking, smart, capable. And helps me be really optimistic about the future of our community when I get a chance to interact with these students. And I hope our listeners get a chance to interact with students these days.
Now, recently you announced putting together a facilities committee. I don't remember the technical name for it, but sounds like you have got some things planned for this group of residents.
Yeah, we do. I would encourage listeners to go onto the website and maybe Kyle, we can send you something to put up on the site here. We really want to listen to and get input from our patrons on our facilities. We hear from people across the spectrum, some people asking, what are we going to do in our facilities? How are we going to make some improvements? Are we going to build a building? What are we thinking about with some of the buildings we've talked about before? And so our attempt right now is to get a wide range of community perspectives and have a community-driven process that helps us better understand next steps and things we need to do thinking about our facilities long term.
And when you look at these facilities, you're also looking at potentially a fair amount of money to do some of the things that maybe this group would think should be done.
Yeah, that's potential. We've been putting quite a bit of money into our buildings as we go throughout the year. School budgets are complicated, and oftentimes it's confusing to the public. We really don't get money for capital improvements. We stuck about $25 million into our buildings in the last 5 years, but we still have ongoing needs, and we still have buildings that are aging. I think the average age of buildings in our school district is a little over 75 years old. And so there are questions just about the ongoing maintenance and kind of end of life of maybe some buildings. And that's a community conversation we want to have.
And at the same time, over the last however many years, your enrollment is fairly consistent, right?
Yeah, our enrollment's really been pretty steady. And, we've got the great privilege of serving, thousands, over 5,000 students and their families. And always great to welcome in the young ones and send the ones off that are, moving on to their careers and next steps in life, military and college and career. But enrollment has been steady for us.
And it's different than maybe some more urban areas where the conversation might include where to build new buildings, or some areas as well where districts are pulling back due to just less kids that happen to live in a particular area.
Yeah, you don't have to look far to see where there's been closures of buildings and significant budget cuts. I think Eugene's been talking about a $30 million reduction in their budget and staffing. We really are in a pretty good, we have to live within our means financially, and we're in a pretty good fiscal position in terms of taking care of, our staffing, all the things we should. That's what we need to be doing. The district, we have a number of buildings, which is good. We do own some land, which is good, and it does provide some opportunities for the community to think about what we want today and tomorrow and what we want for the next, 20, 30, 50, 100 years.
And is there a potential for another bond levy to come out of this?
Well, I don't know. I think the idea here is that we would have a pretty community-driven process, actually. And, we can provide some information for the community, but the idea and kind of architecture behind this group is that they would give me a recommendation as a superintendent to consider that comes from our community. If that involves some capital investments, it could. That a decision about a bond, though, rests with the board.
And any kind of timeline for how long this committee is going to be in operation?
Yeah, we have applications that are out. We've sent those out a couple spots. Anybody, if they want to reach out to central office, our district office, we can help with where to find those applications. We're hoping for a wide variety of perspectives there. We're going to meet starting in February. It'll basically be the second Tuesday, I believe, of the month. And we'll meet February through June. And I'm hoping we can do a round of polling in there, at least one, to get a broader community perspective. And hoping to have a recommendation from the committee somewhere by end of June.
Now, do you have any work going on any of the buildings this fall, this winter?
Yeah, there's always work going on in buildings. Some of it is mitigation. Some of it is just maintenance work. We've got some work on roofing at a couple buildings. Our big projects going on right now are seismic related. We have been working on the Votech building at RHS, and that's the building you can see as you get on the on ramp there on exit 124 as you head north. We're going to put about $7 million into that building on a seismic. We've had two seismic grants. So we're doing some seismic work there on the Votech building. That's our big kind of capital project right now.
So what about security? I mean, a number of years ago, all the districts really around the country, there was a big shift in what needed to be done. There was funding to help with some of that, and people kind of rethought things. You did a lot of work with foyers and just different things in buildings. Where are you at now with that?
Well, yeah, we took quite a bit of the COVID money and actually did some of these capital improvements with security. Maybe just step back here. Obviously, our community has dealt with issues around security and active aggressors in schools before, and it was important for our community and our board to make an investment in and really single point of entry and controlled access for schools. And that involves some fencing, what we call vestibules, which are really just a single point of access where you have to check in. We have some work around visitor management, and we need to know kind of why you're there, and there's a badging system and all that. We've pretty much implemented most of our kind of tier one, tier two security measures. If you've been to the high school recently, there's a new kind of storefront that'll be part of our vestibule there. And that was kind of the last building to work on. Rose also, we need to do a little bit of work on at Rose. But we've made pretty significant investment in ensuring that when kids are there, they can be safe, and so it's an ongoing process when you're thinking about active threats to students and how to keep them safe, and also how to merge that with it feeling like a welcoming community that you can walk into and feel like you're welcome when you come in. So it's we've got some good work there. Not really done with our needs around safety. In the event of an active aggressor, we still have work to do in terms of, single push-button ways to lock the building down. But it's work we're trending toward right now.
And I understand there's kind of a push out there to, and this gets kind of complex, take school building plans and make them accessible to law enforcement agencies. So if you had a situation, people would know exactly, exactly how the building worked.
Yeah, we're ahead of the game on that. We've been working with law enforcement, including sharing, building documents and plans. We've made our security cameras available in the event of an emergency to law enforcement as well, so they could, quickly identify where the threat might be. Our buildings have been open for active shooter training and law enforcement training on some things. So, but always work to do in that area. We know in the event of a threat to students, it doesn't involve just your not necessarily just your city and county folks. It will involve them, but it could be a variety of multi-agency folks. So always looking for ways to make sure we can share the right information to make sure responses are good.
All right, back with more in a moment. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg School District on Inside Douglas County, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. outside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This interview, a podcast, right after 1 at 541radio.com. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Schools and talking about things happening in the district. Online learning was a big deal during the pandemic. Where are you guys at now with online learning?
You know, it was interesting. It certainly was. There's still been an interest from some families, but the large majority of our parents have really appreciated the opportunity to work in person. And as we ramp up some of our career pathway work, a lot of that work just really needs to be in person when we think about industry standards and clinical placements. And so we actually closed what was called Roseburg Virtual School. Just enrollment really wasn't there. So there's still been an interest in the community in it. But the vast majority of our parents and community were pretty clear on the fact that they expected an in-person opportunity for students.
So is it, of the people that are still interested, is it more a certain age range of kids or grade range?
It's kind of been, for a variety of reasons, it's been across the board. And we tend to see, not always, but it's not uncommon to see kind of students start with a certain online program and maybe shift to a different online program. There seems to be some migration there. I can't give you an exact number, but there is an interest there, and the interest has kind of been spread out pretty, I don't know if it's exactly equally, but kind of across, you know, across grade levels.
So, as you mentioned the career pathways, you guys are doing a lot with that.
Yeah, I've got to say, I'm really impressed, again, with our kids, and we've got such a great community. Our industry partners have been really, really great. I don't know that people really realize this, but, you know, we've got our students, I'll pick on the high school here for a minute, and we've got our students are doing a great job. We've got kids doing a lot of college-level coursework at the high school. Our programs, you know, whether that be our licensed practical nursing, our CNA program, our fire science, our EMS program, we've got kids really getting ready and currently doing real world, working on skills and working in real world careers right now. There's a lot of dual credit happening, which is great. But in addition to that, we've got kids passing national exams. They're stepping into critical roles in our community already. And it's been really great. As we think about, you know, building a stronger community, we've got to continue to grow and keep our local talent. So, I just want to give a shout out to our industry partners. They've been really, really great. They're helping set some standards for us as well. And the kids have been awesome, really stepping up. We've had I don't know if it's a tradition here, but we've been satisfied, I think, in the past with oftentimes scholarshiping kids to leave. And we're really rethinking that in terms of we've got a lot of local need here and a lot of high-wage, high-demand jobs. And really in partnership with the college and our industry partners, we're really partnering to move our community forward and make sure our kids see a future here in our community.
And it seems like a key part of that is what you're doing with the college.
Yeah, no doubt. They've been a great partner. I mean, Dr. Pokrant's been great. We continue to really find ways to... again, work with our industry partners and say, you know, what are you going to need now in the next 5-10 years? And can we build a pathway for kids there? And it's been great. You know, kids, we have graduation rates are often talked about. We have a 96% graduation rate with any student in two or more of our CTE courses, our vocational ed courses. So whether that's in the medical side, whether it's in welding, construction management, FFA, FBLA. So we know that these courses are really important to students. And what I know about this generation of students is if you just tell them what they need to know, it's not good enough. They need to see their future. And when they do, these kids are working hard and really doing great work.
And there's been a kind of a push lately about early childhood literacy. Talk about what's happening there.
Yeah, it's really, really important. I mean, democracy in itself is really founded on understanding how to have the right information. And so early literacy is you know, really, really important. So we are, you know, continuing, you know, the educational system in a way, this isn't exactly the case, but we've oftentimes been kind of learning to read in those early grades. And then come about third grade, you're really reading to learn after that. And so if you if your reading skills aren't, if you don't have those skills, and that would, you know, include things like phonemic awareness and comprehension and fluency and accuracy, and there's components of that. But it's, if you don't have the reading skills you need as you move on kind of in your learning career, it becomes more complicated. So we have an expectation that all kids will be proficient in reading at third grade. And we want to make sure kids also love to read and love to know how to access books and learning. But it's really important to work with our families on this and students to make sure that they have the skills they need to be really good readers, thoughtful readers at an early age.
Now, you mentioned in past interviews along the way since you've been here that sometimes recruiting new staff from out of the area is a bit difficult.
Yeah, it can be. I don't know that we're necessarily alone in this. I think there's so many great reasons to relocate here. We have loved my family, the experience of being here. This is our home. We consider it our home. Not everybody sees it always the same way. Whether it's the size or whether it's, I'm not sure what it might be. But we've done a pretty good job recruiting. We have two director positions. We have two retirements that have happened. And so we get a chance to kind of look internally, but also externally potentially. And we think this is a great place to be. We've been pretty good at recruiting. And we think as we continue to focus on our community and uplifting our community and growing the talent here and growing the services here, and that will become less and less of an issue.
But also at the same time, you have less and less people getting into education.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty well staffed right now, but I think education in general, I think we see fewer and fewer students at the college level, maybe. Think about, there's a lot of, you look at openings right now, whether it's in special education or the superintendency. I've always contended, I'm so glad I chose this profession. It's the most fulfilling thing. I've loved it, and but we've been blessed to get great educators that are working for us and with our kids here.
Now, of course, people retire, people move, et cetera. Did you have any big staff leadership changes for this school year?
Well, we're going to lose a couple really key people who are retiring, and we will be hiring a new director of student services that helps support a wide variety of all of our kids, and then a director of teaching and learning, and those are two really big shifts. Melissa Roberts has been our director of student services, and Dr. Jill Weber, who was the principal of the high school for a number of years, she's worked at the central office and been our director of teaching and learning. Those are two big leadership positions that are currently open and we're hoping to fill this spring.
Wow, and so that's probably a bit of a big lift.
Yeah, I mean, these are really, really key positions as we think about how to organize the support and our thinking to think adaptively and move things forward. So we're looking forward to the recruiting process and the interview process, and most importantly, welcoming some new talent into the community.
And for regular teaching jobs or assistant jobs, I mean, have you been able to fill all of those?
Yeah, we're full on our teaching positions right now, which is wonderful. But there's always, we always have, there's always maternity leave or, things that happen in terms of mid-year that we can't anticipate. We have a number of classified positions still that come open. Those could be both, at the nutrition services level or as a educational assistant, instructional assistant. And those are always posted on our website. We're always, again, looking for, if our listeners are looking for a great place to work and want a super fulfilling job and working with students, come see us.
Now, what about, you've got your core curriculum, but you've got extra activities, you've got sports, music, different things. How do you balance all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I oftentimes worry about the kids balancing all of it because it's a lot going on with these young people. They're great kids, and I often talk about how darn busy they are. There's that good, better, best philosophy that, they're doing really good things. If there's something better they can do. Our kids are busy, and we like to make sure they have a ton of opportunities. We know co-curricular activities are really important. Team activities are important, so athletics and activities. We've got lots of things happening, every single one of our schools to keep, to provide opportunities for our kids. We've got great people working for us that are coaching and everything from choir and music to band, all the things. I think some of the trick is our students having enough time to participate in all those fully. I've got a kiddo at home that's a junior, and oftentimes home from practices, you know, from sports practices, and goes to school early and is home oftentimes, sometimes after I get home, which is normally pretty late. So we are grateful to be able to do those for our kids and try to make it work for our kids.
So take a minute and to sort of dream big. Are there things you would like to see happen in the district if money wasn't an issue?
I mean, the biggest issue for me, I mean, we talk about capital things. Of course, you know, I'd love to see, new schools and those kind of things, which would be great. And eventually we'll want to figure those pieces out. My big hope every day is that kids wake up in the morning excited to go to school. And the parents have huge trust in us. You know, they give us their most important things in their entire life, and that's their kids. So I always want to make sure we get those kids back to them, have a great experience. We return them a little better than we got them. And that kids are excited to come back the next day. Hope we can have a program and experience for kids that really is magical for them, and that they find huge value, that they remember even when they get old like me, they can say, you know, that was a great experience. And that's my dream every day.
Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Schools, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.